Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh. Call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here it is, a Wednesday, and boy, do we have stuff to chop up for you from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going to be a lot of fun over the next 4 hours. You want to stay right here because we're going to probably make a little bit of news, I would think, at some point in this four-hour show today with everything that happened last night. Morning to you. What up?
Good morning, John Fricke. Good morning, Atlanta. Boy, that's pretty bold. That's a pretty bold statement John Fricke making this morning. we're gonna make some news. Well, I hope it's not bad news, though. I done had my share of bad news. I'm kind of over that. I'm kind of cool. I'm kind of cool on some bad news. Is it good news?
Right,
if it's not good news, John, I got to go.
All right. besides the Braves bullpen, what kind of bad news are we talking about here?
That was a controversial game. Let me just say that.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, you know, I guess the bullpen is going to have its nights. You know, it's going to be up and down. Biscaino had a rough one, but it was some controversy. It was a couple controversial calls last night.
Oh, God love you, Hugh Douglas. Biscaino had a rough one.
Because I look at it like, okay, I mean.
I think he just sucked.
Some nights you have it. Some nights you have control. Some nights you don't. I mean, you know, I look at it like everything else is going well. You're not going to have everything is not going to be perfect.
I know.
You know what I mean? And I guess that's kind of how I kind of look at it. You know, could it be better? Yes, no question about that. But, I mean, your bats are lively. The bats are live. Players are hustling. I mean, they're not giving up. I mean, I guess you can't – your starting pitching is decent. Your starting pitch is really good.
Good.
So, I guess you can't really – I mean, you want to have everything, but sometimes you can't. And you just got to make do with what you have. I guess that's the way I look at it.
Well, they got a missing link right now, and that's closer. I mean, that's just that – the bullpen itself – you know, and Grant's not wrong when he says the bullpen has been okay, but that closing position, I mean, we're back to Jim Johnsonville again. I thought we were done with that last
Jim
year.
Jim Johnson, I remember that. I remember that guy. That was atrocious, though. No, I don't think it's to that level yet.
Man, some of the games they blown, it's just, it was awful last night. Anyway, that's the bad news. The good news is, apparently, and I want to be careful, because I think Jamie Gertz is maybe a part owner, but the owner's wife, who may be a part owner, is good luck, because he's got the number three pick. How about that?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, who are you going to get? Because
now comes the hard part.
Yeah. Who are you going to get? Now, I've seen some say, Mo Bamba is going to be there. Well, he's obviously going to be there. And I saw somewhere where they say that might be the pick for the Hawks. So you're in a good spot. Would have rather had number one, though. Maybe number two, especially number two now, with the coach from the Phoenix, the Phoenix Suns coach being from, what's his name? I'm about to kill his last name.
I know. It's like Koskoskov or something.
Koskoskov, and him having that good rapport with Luka Doncic, that could have been in a great spot to get who you wanted at that point. So
Koskoskov.
Let's just leave it like that for we kill this man's name.
Koskoskov.
I know it's Igor. I do know it's Igor. I remember that.
Igor Koskoskov. He's the new head coach of the Phoenix. So Phoenix got the number one pick, and there's some debate as to whether or not they're going to take DeAndre Ayton, which not going to go over well in the state of Arizona. I'm just saying. That may not be a thing that goes over well with all the Arizona fans, because remember where after he'd played down the road in Tucson, you know, 3-hour drive south. Anyway, we'll get more into that. So, again, a lot of stuff. And Travis Schlenk will join us this morning to react to getting the number 3 seed and to a lot more as far as, you know, the NBA is concerned. And then, of course, there was the NBA last night. Just a quick thought about this. Watching LeBron, the Cavs had LeBron and Kevin Love score 64 points. The other Cavs did nothing. The other Cavs became an SNL skit last night.
No, J.R. Smith did something. He pushed. Who did he push? who did he push, Daryl? Yeah, he pushed Al.
Okay.
And then went at another one of his teammates. That was a contribution, if anything.
Well, when Al was on our team, J.R. Smith made 47 three-pointers in a row.
I tell you what, man. Al Horford is on the cups. Like, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. But, boy, you talk about two – like, in the fourth quarter, he came up big. But two games where, like, he's been a huge factor. Like, for real. So, Al Horford is potentially on the cusp of going to the championship game. Like, seriously. I know, I was teasing yesterday saying, you know, I don't know how I felt about that because, you know, he was here and he was like, what, 2 years removed, whatever. But that's a huge accomplishment. That is a huge accomplishment to go, you know, to make a move, you know, from someplace that you obviously love to you know, go out there on faith and go to Boston and have all that stuff happen to that team, decimated the way that it was this year, and still be in position to possibly go to the championship game. Now, you're going to be a sacrificial lamb when you get there. There's no doubt about that. But to be in position to do that, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're up 2-0. Boston ran Cleveland out of the gym despite the fact that LeBron had a triple-double, 42, 12, and 10. They still got beat because the other Cavs, I mean, Tristan Thompson kissed the baby, had 8 points. George Hill had 3. And J.R. Smith had 0. Donut. The other 3 starters besides Love and LBJ had 11 points. You know, I mean, just no help whatsoever.
Man. That is tough. That's a tough one. And what I liked about Boston last night, I don't like Boston. Let me just put that out there first. But you like how they kept their composure. Because you could tell that, like, at the end of the game, like, in the fourth quarter, probably, what, 6-7 minutes left on the clock, Cleveland started to break. They started to have a conniption. And that's when they started to get a little chippy. But Boston kept their composure, and they just played basketball. And even after the game, they were just focused. They're focused on the next one because they know it's going to be tough. Going to Cleveland, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to play in Cleveland and beat them in Cleveland. But they're on the cusp. They're on the cusp of having the Cavaliers. Their back is against the wall. But if they get another one in Cleveland, they're definitely against the wall. And they got a chance to close them out.
Well, you know, Cleveland's been in this position before where people said, oh, you know, no way you could possibly win. They were down 3-1 that time to Golden State and still won that world title a couple of years ago. But, yeah,
Different team now, man.
I know.
You had some players, and now you got the Slim Reaper, you got the Splash Brothers, and you got Draymond. That's too many people. That's too many people to contend with. We already saw what – if they happen to make it, which I don't think they are, you already saw what Golden State's bringing to the table. I mean, we already saw that. I mean, it's too many shooters.
Well, Houston has got to have a must-win tonight. I mean, they cannot lose. Houston, it's one thing for the Cavs to be down 0-2, having played both games in Boston. Houston goes down 0-2 tonight, having played both games in Houston. Oh, that thing is over. That thing is over.
You go back to the Rorico. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. So, yeah, they got to get this one tonight. They got to get one tonight. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be another good one, though. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, and the Beard, of course, had a big first game. We'll see if he gets any help. Because it's just kind of same thing with the Cavs in Houston. You had the Beard and you had CP3 do their thing and no help. Last night you had LBJ and Kevin Love and no help whatsoever. And see, that's where Boston, this is why Brad Stevens has done such a great job. Because you mentioned, we talk about it a lot. No Gordon Hayward, no Kyrie Irving. And normally, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving are two guys that you can build an entire franchise around.
Yeah, you don't even have them.
And they're playing team basketball with Brown and Tatum and Smart and Horford, and it's just
that's the key, Rozier, John. Right. Team basketball. That's what it is. And you could tell last night, Cleveland got frustrated. They're fragmented right now. And no matter what you say, they're going to have to figure out – they're going to have to get it together. If they want to win a game, they're going to have to get it together. They're going to have to be a better – they're going to have to be a more cohesive unit in order to win a game.
Yeah, if Golden State wins tonight, it's almost like the playoffs are over. I mean, Golden State's going to win the championship. It's almost like, again, I think we all look at this and wonder about, is there any way Boston could possibly match up, presuming that that's the finals, with Golden State? And the answer might be, you know what? Maybe they do, in a way. Maybe Boston versus Golden State would be kind of interesting because Boston is playing team basketball and they are
– Man, listen.
You know, they're just playing at another level with this team. I don't know.
It's simple math. Okay, who you say the best player on the floor for Boston right now? Al Horford, maybe?
Tatum.
Rozier.
Rozier's been falling out. I mean, all of them have had moments. All of them have had nice moments.
But I'm saying head and shoulders, the best player on the court, when you put those five on the court, would it be Al Horford? Rozier? You say Rozier. For Golden State, you got Klay Thompson. You got Draymond Green. You got Steph Curry. And you got the Slim Reaper. One against four. That's simple math right there. Those numbers. And you got four guys that can shoot for Golden State from any – like, they can shoot. Like, they can get hot and just shoot your eyes out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't, right. I mean, Golden State is an overwhelming favorite. I'm not saying the Boston wins the series, but maybe it goes six or something.
I don't know about that. It might. You know, you never know. That's why they play the best of seven. You never know. But I don't think so.
It is a Wednesday morning, and again, we got a lot of news to chop up today. Tough loss for the Braves last night to the Chicago Cubs. The closer is a problem for the Braves. They almost blew one in Chicago with A.J. Minter all over the plate. And last night, Rodis Vizcaíno was once again fastball belt high middle of the plate and got touched for two runs in the top of the ninth in a game the Braves should have won. The other part of this game is the Braves had two players thrown out at home plate. Freddie Freeman in the first inning, who was out. He was tagged on the foot. But I have no problem with the aggressive base running at all.
They're staying true to form, true to who they are.
And then Johan Camargo, who tried to score on a pass ball. Johan Camargo was safe. And so I want to ask the question, what is the point of replay if you can't get it right? What's the point of replay if you can't get it right? Because replay is pretty clear that he got his hand in before he was tagged on the helmet.
I mean, I saw that. I saw that on my television. And you would think that like MLB and the guys in New York would have seen that. I mean, that was an easy one to see. But I guess they said it was inconclusive and they couldn't overturn it or whatever. But you could easily see that on television. And even with the angle that they had, you could see that. But it was like, you know, they got it wrong.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I understand what egregious. A point of replay is if you're not going to get it right. What are you guys chuckling about? What are you guys chuckling in there about? Come on, Daryl, what?
This guy just sat there and said, well, I saw that on my television. Like, you got an old 13-inch black and white television. Like, come on, brother.
Would it be better if I said HD TV?
Bruh!
I saw that on my television.
You sounded like the dude. That was such a water cooler moment because you're like, yeah, I saw it at home on my TV. I could have not seen it at the game.
No, but.
I could have not seen it in New York.
But seriously. Like, that was one of those ones where you knew for a fact. You're like, come on, man. That's a no-brainer. That's like, if I had just got off my spaceship from another planet and you gave me just the simple rules about baseball, I could have told you, hey, he looks safe to me. I could have did that, but no, they got that one wrong. They definitely got that one wrong.
Yeah, and how much it cost the Braves again? I mean, Acuña hit a bomb in the game last night, and I mean a bomb to dead center for his fourth home run. Braves had the lead, and just couldn't hold it. I mean, just couldn't hold it. The bullpen, again, let him down. Again, it's just about finding a closer. The bullpen itself has been okay. But the starting pitching has been okay. They run the bases well. They're aggressive. They hit home runs. They're the best hitting team in the National League. They played good defense. They've got one Achilles heel, closer, and it's costing them right now. And Alex Anthopoulos is going to have to figure this out. Either you hold the fort with Vizcaíno and Minter and hope one of them develops, or you got to go get somebody.
Costing them. They're still in first place, right? They're still right now, they're still in first place. Because I don't think the Phillies didn't play last night. I don't think the Phillies played last night. So, I mean, I understand your concern, John, but I think, you know, it's not the time to push the panic button just yet. Not yet.
We have a very interesting – we said that there's a very interesting story developing that we see now, which is there is a Hawks star that might be asking for a trade. And what does that mean after the NBA draft lottery last night? We'll discuss that.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The game's national signing bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A Wednesday from the Kia Studios with John Fricke, Hugh Douglas, and you. Hopefully you're having a safe drive. And do be careful and take it a little slow out there. There's obviously some, as you know, patchy storms still hanging around Atlanta. Maybe dry where you're at right now, but down the road, I went through two or three. You know, it would rain for half a mile, and then it would get clear up here. And it looks like we're, according to the weatherman, going to be in the soup for the remainder of the week. Of course, Bo's the weatherman, so he would know. It's going to be rain. So just to be careful out there because, you know, one thing is true. Hydroplaning is real because I have experienced that. The Atlanta Hawks last night, though, they kind of shot right through it all the way to the number three seed in the NBA draft lottery. One quick thought before we kind of break down a couple of big stories around this. One is that NBA draft lottery show is awful. God, that was terrible.
That's what you said. That's the what is it? An hour, 2 hours of your life you can't get back, John Fricke.
Man,
that's why I ain't watch it.
You know,
I got the alerts on the phone. Oh, I live on my iPhone. When it comes to stuff like that, I got the alert, and I was like, Phoenix, come on.
I don't know. Am I the only one that thought the show itself was just not good TV? It was like it wasn't as awkward as the NCAA tournament show on TBS, but it was pretty bad.
But people watched. You know what? It's so that they can critique. It's one of those things where if you're a hoop head, I tell you one person I know for a fact watched it, Rick Kamler. I bet you Rick Kamler watched it. If I was a betting man, I would say Rick Kamler watched it.
But my wife is sitting there watching it with me, and they come out with the cards, and they say, you know, they've already done. She goes, well, where are the ping pong balls? Where's it going to be the ping pong ball? I said, yeah, they used to do that. They don't do it anymore. She goes, well, isn't that like the action in the whole thing? And I went, you'd think that would be the action, but they do it in the back in secret. Oh, they do it in secret, huh? I went, yeah. And then they have some card out there that says all these numbers that we draw four numbers and they relate to the chances of you having a percentage to win by. She goes, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, and that's why people don't trust basketball. Yes, Daryl.
You remember the old days when it was like 1 and 2 and they had a coin flip to see who would actually get number one, like with the lowest two teams?
Right.
And they were on the telephone and they were on the phone. And they had to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Well, this team gets X, Y, and Z. It was all through a coin flip.
Oh, man. You know, anyway, so Phoenix gets the number one, Sacramento, Sacramento Tomatoes gets the number two, and then the Atlanta Hawks get number three. And that'll be the subject of our poll this morning, which is if you project that Ayton and Doncic are going to go 1-2 in some order, who are the Hawks going to take with the number three pick? Are they going to take Mo Bamba? Are they going to take Marvin Bagley III? Are they going to take Jaren Jackson? Are they going to take Michael Porter Jr.? And you can vote at 9-9 the game right now as to who the Hawks will take with that number three pick. And, of course, it could be somebody else besides that. Who knows? They could trade up. They could trade down. I have no idea. And they could trade. Maybe it's like this. Maybe Phoenix U takes Luka Doncic number one.
Maybe.
And then DeAndre Ayton falls to the number two spot. And maybe the Hawks pick up the phone and they call Sack of Tomatoes and they say, hey, what if we made a trade with you? What if we sent you, like, all of our first-round picks, our number three, our number 19, our number 30, and Dennis Schroeder, to move up one spot so we can get DeAndre Ayton?
I don't think that's going to happen, John. I mean, because the one thing that the Hawks have said since Travis has been here was that they have some good draft picks. They're in good position. I think their focus is they're going to keep their picks, and they're going to draft. They're going to do their homework, and they're going to get the best players for them. Because, you know, Draymond Green was a later-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you got it. Like, for them, I think the most important thing is picks. So they're not. I don't think they're going to trade anybody.
Well, they may trade Dennis Schroeder regardless, because if you believe what happened in Germany. So Dennis goes to Germany. All right, he's over there playing because he's from Germany. And he decides, for whatever reason, the German Basketball League, the Deutschland Basketball Bund, holds a news conference with Dennis and one of the other stars of the league. And the whole news conference turns into Dennis Schroeder talking about his experience in Atlanta and where he, you know, thinks he might be headed in his NBA career. And Dennis says a lot of things, all of it in German. This is what it sounded like when Dennis talked about other teams in the NBA that he might be interested in going to.
Ja, also natürlich. Also ich habe ja auch meine Gedanken und Freunde natürlich im Team, in anderen Teams. Und zum Beispiel Indiana wäre nicht verkehrt. Milwaukee wäre auch nicht verkehrt.
Other
ich teams. Bin 24, werde 25 im September. Und natürlich will man irgendwann Titel gewinnen.
Talk about other teams
in meiner Prime mit 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, da will ich halt mitspielen. Da kann ich nicht Vorletzter in der Eastern Conference sein.
In the Eastern Conference, right.
And you can deswegen werde ich halt das Gespräch haben mit den Atlanta Hawks und dann werden wir halt schauen, wie es weitergeht. Jetzt kann ich halt nur spekulieren und sagen, was ich gerne will.
No, but I didn't. I mean, it was a case where I was listening to the news conference and you could pick things out, okay? Because
you picked that. I know you picked out what? Milwaukee. I heard Milwaukee.
Indiana.
I heard championship.
Right.
I heard Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
Okay, and everything else is, I don't understand.
So it was translated. So
does anybody
thing,
speak German?
Nine.
Show.
you know how to say about four or five
Daryl
words.
Daryl speaks German?
I was in honors German.
My bad. I didn't know.
That's why I'm disgusted at this right now.
What did he say, Daryl? What did he say?
Well, as John stated, this was 18 minutes into the interview. It wasn't the entire interview.
Okay.
So 18 minutes into the interview, they start asking him about teams in the East that were stronger. That's when he started naming Indiana and Milwaukee, like the teams that were on the bottom and started arising. Then he starts talking about his time in Atlanta, and he just didn't like the way things were going.
Look at Daryl speaking German. Daryl, in the break, I need you to write me down a bunch of German cuss
words.
We're
not doing that.
I need some good ones. In the break, D, you have to write me down some German cuss words. I need
it's
to
not
know
that
these.
He didn't like the way things were going. There was, like, he was basically saying there's a new team, and he's in his prime right now.
Mm-hmm. And so he wants to go. So basically,
that's
he
not
said
what he said.
Okay,
he's
I'm
in
interpreting.
His prime right
he's
now.
In his prime. And does he want to stay here?
And the team is right now very low.
Is that what he said?
That's what was said.
Okay. Look at Daryl speaking German. You know what?
I didn't know.
I don't know too many black folks that speak German, Daryl, to be totally honest. And I didn't know. Well, I don't know Dennis Schroeder. I know Daryl. So, I mean, shout out to you, man. I mean, hey, I'm going to start asking you just random questions. Do you know about certain things? But, yeah, I need them German cuss words at the break, though. I need them.
Here's some of the things that Dennis Schroeder said. It was also done. Besides, Daryl was also translated. Dennis said in this Q&A in Germany, Atlanta is my city. I was drafted there, but I have to look individually what's best for me. I will talk to the GM and the owner of the Hawks and what they want to do in the future. My agent will be there, and he will talk to them on Wednesday. That's today. So Dennis's agent is here today to talk to them. He says, I have my thoughts and my friends with other teams. For example, Indiana wouldn't be too bad. Milwaukee wouldn't be too bad. I cannot be second to last in the Eastern Conference. I'm in my prime. I want to compete. I'll be 25 in September. And, of course, I want to win a title sometime. So, I mean,
I mean, that's a lot to digest.
Yep.
I mean, you could, like, what Dennis has done has left himself open for us to interpret it any way that we see fit, to be totally honest. Now, I understand what Daryl said. He didn't come out and say that he did not want to be here. He did not say that. But when you start talking about other teams and being in your prime and winning championships and things of that nature, it leads one to believe that you feel that, you know, here it's going to be a little bit of a process. And by you saying, give me your age, you feeling like that sounds like you're feeling like, you know, you might be running out of time and you want to get one in your prime. People can interpret that in a way that you don't want to be here in Atlanta for this rebuilding process. I mean, that's a fair assessment. That is a fair assessment.
It's the way I took it. I mean, that's the way I took it. Dennis Schroeder is basically saying, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this.
So I guess that today that they're going to meet and try to figure out what exactly does Dennis Schroeder, where's his head? I mean, that's what I'm hearing from it. He wants to figure out where the Hawks' direction and how does he fit into what they're trying to do.
He says, I will talk to the GM and owner of the Hawks and what they want to do in the future. My agent will be there and talk to them on Wednesday. So I don't know if we'll have any news today. I doubt it. I mean, but I would just say that, you know, that he's kind of raised his – let's put it this way. Dennis Schroeder's raised his hand. Okay, that's what he's done. He's raised his hand. I mean, he went to Germany and basically raised his hand and said, look, you want to trade me? I'm open to that idea. I am open to the idea of going somewhere else. He said, Atlanta's my city. I was drafted there, but I have to look individually what's best for me. Raise my hand. You want to trade me individually what's best for me? It may not be Atlanta. You know, and frankly, Hugh, I'd be good with trading Dennis Schroeder.
I'm listening and I'm trying to debate. If he doesn't want to be here, then you got to let him go. I mean, that's simple as that, because you're trying to build something positive here. And if you got a malcontent, then you have to let him go. You're almost in a no-win situation with that. So, yes, I'm with you on that.
Well, today's an interesting Wednesday, isn't it? And that's just how the show has started. And, yes, Travis Schlenk will join us in the 8 o'clock hour, and we'll talk to the GM about the number 3 pick and about the draft ahead and about all the offseason stuff. That'll be at about 8:20 this morning if you're back in your car. Next up, we'll tell you what else today is. But John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay, let's do it.
We're giving away $250,000.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 99 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh. Today's a Wednesday. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Janet Jackson turned 52 today. 52. She
52?
Is she still too old for you, Hugh?
Oh, she way too old.
Man, come
on. Janet Jackson is old, dude. Like, for real. Like, she fine. I ain't say she wasn't fine. She and old, loaded. Though. She rich. I mean, I'm not that guy that's just going to be – I don't want to be a kept man. I don't want to be a kept man. Daryl is over there talking about whatever, dude. No, I'm serious. I mean, she's too old for me. I don't date anybody my age or close to it. I just don't.
Well, Megan Fox is 32 today. Does that work better for you?
Megan Fox got them funny-looking fingers, though. Her fingers are funny-looking.
Is this a Seinfeld episode? I mean.
No. Have y'all seen her thumbs or something? Her fingers look funny, man. She got some funny-looking hands.
What, Bo? What are you talking about? What are you pointing at?
He better stop.
Dude,
I will
up.
Come in there.
Look
I will come
Megan
in there.
Fox hands. Megan, look at her hands.
There's nothing wrong with Megan Fox.
Look at her hands, dude. Something is wrong with her hands.
There's so much to look at. You're concentrating on the hands?
Man, yeah, right. I wasn't looking. I've never seen her hands. Never paid
look
one
at
of
her hands.
Never paid one.
Daryl, did you Google her hands? She got some messed up hands.
All right, now I got to look
y'all,
at
see, listen.
See, now I got to look at Megan Fox.
I am not.
Hands.
I'm not looking for perfection, but she got some funny look. Like
God, you are.
Like her funny looking. Her hands look funny. They look funny. I'm sorry. They just look funny.
Okay. It's she the got, thumb?
She got, yeah, she got funny thumbs. That dude was something. She got, they're funny looking.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's the net negative on Megan Fox, okay.
She got some ugly thumbs, man.
She got
cute. That's
yeah.
not cute.
And again, I wasn't looking at the thumbs, but okay.
I am not the only one that feels this way. I know I'm not.
Megan Fox is 32 and still looking pretty hot. Tori Spelling is 45 and looks 75, but that's a different story. Pierce Brosnan is 65 today. One of the bonds, one of the many that have been bonded. And Pierce Brosnan, 65 today. Was it Remington Steele back in the day, Hugh? Was that
yes,
the,
that's
the,
what
it was. Remington
yes.
Steele? Yeah. You know, that back in the day. Yeah. We also are talking about today is National Love a Tree Day, apparently.
Tree Hugger Day?
Yeah, I guess. Because the way I love a tree, the best way to love a tree is to, you know.
Don't say nothing crazy.
No, no, you just, no, no, you just take a chainsaw and you chop it down and then you cut it up and then you burn it. That's the best way to love a tree.
I knew you were going to try to you hurt yourself trying to say something crazy. I knew you were going to do that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that too.
You use them as Bo uses them to bounce golf balls back in the fairway. That's what you know. He uses them as like you know sideboards on the golf course. It's also National Piercing Day. Now that brings up this National Piercing Day. I have never, don't ever, and don't want to because I'm just I don't know. It seems like it would hurt. But does anybody on our show have a, besides, oh, you got an earring.
Yeah, I got two of them.
Yeah.
That's kind of a personal question.
Well.
Somebody might have a piercing that they don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody might have a piercing they don't want to talk about. So, that's kind
of Megan Fox could pierce her thumb. Would that make it better?
Have you seen her thumbs, dude?
I saw her thumbs.
Seen,
yes.
Have you seen
I
her
just
thumbs?
I just looked at it. Yes,
that is not attractive.
Okay, it's not attractive. You're right. Her thumb's a little weird. the rest of it, I mean, this is like looking at a Lamborghini and saying, you know, the knobs inside on the radio are a little funny.
See, that's the thing, though, John. I don't think Megan Fox is a Lamborghini. I mean, you know, that's just my personal opinion. I don't think she's a Lamborghini. She's a Porsche. Porsche is a good car. Porsche, what's that, 911?
She's not a turbo.
She don't 911 turbo. She's 911 though. What's the entry level Porsche that you get? The one that ain't got that much horsepower, but it looked good. You could tell everybody
she's a Camaro, right?
She's a Boxster.
She's a Camaro. She's a yellow Camaro, a Bumblebee, right?
Yeah, you tried too hard for that one, John.
I know.
Transformer thing.
Yeah, we all know you're going Transformers. I know, but she's right? Not a basic level Porsche either, Hugh. That's ridiculous.
I said she's a Boxster. Okay, I give her. She's a Cabriolet. How about that?
Well, first off, she's an American muscle car. I do agree.
She ain't no American muscle car.
She's a Trans Am from Smoking the Bandit.
She ain't no American muscle car. If she's a car, she would not be an American muscle car. She would be, if she's an American car, what would she be? She'd be a GT500. She'd be a Mustang. She's a Mustang.
If you were a car, you'd be like a big old Ram truck.
Yeah, I'd be a truck. I would be a truck. But, yeah, she's a Mustang. She's like a nice little GT500. Yeah, she's a GT.
Yeah,
but I mean, she's I didn't say she wasn't attractive. Uh-huh. It's just, you know, the thumbs. The thumbs look weird.
By the way, our Vision Computer poll today is about the Hawks and the number 3 pick. It is up now at our Twitter and on our Facebook at 929 The Game on Twitter, asking you, assuming that Ayton and Doncic go 1-2 in the NBA draft, who should the Hawks take at number 3? So far, 80% of people are saying Marvin Bagley III. Duke has got a checkered history. I'm just telling you. I mean, they get great college players, but they get a little bit of a checkered history. All right. Of course, you have a Duke guy that's part of the ownership group of the Hawks too, and he may have a little influence into that, right, Grant? Mo Bamba 7%, Michael Porter Jr. 8%, Jaren Jackson 5%. That's early, 80% for Marvin Bagley III. Now, having said that, brought to you by Vision Computers, where an average hold time is less than 15 seconds for support. Good folks at Vision Computers, as you go to your Vision Computer to vote this morning, some of you do. You know, obviously there could be other guys too. I mean, maybe the Hawks trade down or something. Mike Conley had a really good tweet last night about the list of number 3 picks made by the Hawks in their history. And Hugh, this list of number 3 picks, there are 6 in history of the Hawks, dating back to the St. Louis Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And these 6, listen to these names. These were the 6 number 3 picks in the history of the Hawks. 1950, they took Bob Cousy. Bob Cousy, for crying out loud. For those of you who don't know NBA history, Bob Cousy was Bob Cousy. Zelmo Beatty, great player, 1962. 1970, Pete Maravich.
Pistol Pete.
1975.
I remember that name.
Yeah, right? Morgan Webster in 1975. Morgan could play. Paul Gasol in 2001 and Al Horford in 2007. Now, of course, they took Paul Gasol and they immediately traded him to Vancouver in the deal that brought Sharif Abdul-Rahim back home.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody got – I remember everybody getting so mad, you know, later on after the fact. Go look at how good Paul Gasol – well, you know what? When they made the trade, everybody in town loved it. I mean, here's Abdul-Rahim. He's a star power forward. He's a local guy, went to Wheeler High. You know, they were going to put him with Glenn Robinson and Jason Terry and all that stuff, and it was going to work. And look, Sharif was good here. He was very good. But now, you know, see, here we go. Reconstructive history 16, 17 years later, and people go, how could you trade Paul Gasol?
Yeah, but that's not always is, especially when you look at what Paul Gasol was able to accomplish in his career. I mean, but who's to say that would have happened, you know, here? You know, you just never know. But that's how it always goes. Revisionist history, John. That's what it is.
You know, I mean, I like Sharif Abdul-Rahim. I thought he was a hell of a player. And so
that list, they got to get it right. They got to get the right guy.
Mm-hmm. They got to get the right guy. Or if Dennis isn't on the team, people are talking on our Twitter. This one, you vote, you can talk too. And we're talking to you about, you know, what Dennis said too. You know, would the Hawks consider trading down a couple of spots, maybe going Trae Young? I don't know. You know, maybe. Or do you just take Trae Young at 3? It's interesting. That's for sure. When we get back. Like, you know the gambling thing, Supreme Court? Oh, there's a little bit more fallout. One of the biggest writers in the country says the NFL is on the hook for something. We'll tell you what. Next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.